Is it possible to be more funny than we are right now?
It's probably possible for you to be more
funny.
I
feel like I'm more funny than I was. So yeah.
I'm more funny now than I used to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think over the course of podcasting, we as a podcast have gotten
gotten progressively funnier.
Yeah.
Not necessarily better at podcasting.
No,
but progressively funnier. Yeah.
Right. That part's gone down.
It's
but
an
the
intersection,
funny's gone up.
Right?
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bazzer.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right. Back together again in the studio. This is
Woo.
Exciting.
Yeah, I love this.
And I guess when this is released.
Yeah, I'm already gone.
Last time.
I know. You're on
See
big
ya.
Vacation.
We'll be together in the studio for a while.
Yeah.
So.
I know. When are you? No, you can tell me later.
Yeah. Off
yeah.
air.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll miss you for sure.
Oh, thanks.
For the Beyond Sunday team.
Yeah.
We'll also have a new studio for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Trying out a new space.
Our space is getting a refresh, a remodel.
Yeah.
Yay.
We're going to come in here. There's going to be like studio lighting.
Is it really?
No. There'll be new paint.
No, there
will
be.
Will there be an intern? That's what I've asked for consistently.
In the remodel, we're going to put an intern in here.
They can live in here. It's fine.
This is their home now.
No, at least like you're asking for an intern, yet I'm not sure what the intern is taking away from your plate.
Yeah. Nothing. I just want them to like have snacks ready.
Okay. Some cheese and crackers.
Right.
Yes. Elise needs a personal assistant. That's
sure
what we need.
Do. Yeah. I would thrive with a personal assistant.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I really have that energy about me. Like,
I just it's need like, someone to wait on me.
Right. Would enjoy it. Would not feel guilty or remorseful.
Sure. So Elise, after this, we'll be recording in my office. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there an intern in there?
Not usually.
There are sometimes snacks.
That part's good.
I think I have like, old Halloween candy.
That's usually what the snacks are.
Yeah.
I mean, last Halloween.
Right.
That's
not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah,
within a year. Come on.
Within a year is acceptable.
We're not trash pandas. We're
All right. We're back to finish up Dante.
Yes.
Dante.
But before
into
we get
to the
there,
Inferno,
our friends across the pond at Daily Mail,
across the
UK.
Pond.
The Brits.
I don't know. Yeah. The four U.S. states where psychopaths are most likely to live.
I have a pretty strong feeling that Ohio is going to be on this
list. Are you living near one?
Because
Patrick chose it.
Yeah.
I feel like Ohio's coming at me here. Where does Ohio rank on the list, Patrick?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. This is AI 100% wrote this because it has some conflicting information. So.
Love that. All right. So
the four US
the Daily
states.
Mail, already known for its reputable reporting.
Yeah. Obviously, Ohio. Oregon.
Wait, we're going with most likely to live closest to a psychopath?
So I'll tell you this. Researchers measured four traits. Narcissism, Machiavellism, psychopathy, and sadism across all 50 states.
Okay. So where are you most likely to be closest to people with that?
Correct.
So
in your state. Within your state.
So it's not just like...
Not across state lines.
Right. But
I feel
like
these things are all buzzwords these days.
I feel like,
very Machiavellian.
I feel like city centers are going to make a difference.
Okay, more city centers.
Yeah.
If I'm in like Montana, Wyoming, like how close could I possibly be to anybody?
Well, except if all of those somebodies are psychopaths.
I hear that. Then the percentage goes up. That's a challenge. Yeah, that's a risk we've got to take. All right, so I'm willing to say Idaho. Because that's been like a recent landing place for a lot of white supremacist groups has been in Idaho.
Yeah,
that is true.
So I'm going to go with Idaho.
There's a lot of preppers.
Yeah, a lot of preppers.
The most generous way we can kind of phrase this.
So
a
Utah
lot of
as well.
Doomsday preppers.
Yeah. Potentially Utah. Yeah, I don't know
but
that they fall into like
religiously motivated.
Yeah.
Those Mormons, yeah.
I feel like because Patrick picked this, Ohio is probably somewhere.
I picked it based on headline.
Okay.
All right, I'll tell you. The four answers, really, now they again, AI wrote this, so they got it wrong. Nevada,
okay.
South Dakota,
New York, and Texas.
Oh, boy.
We're in the belly of the beast.
Which part of Texas?
Yeah, all right, so narcissism, Machiavellism, psychopathy, and sadism.
Okay.
So.
I feel like sadism is probably
fairly low down
here. Did
Rihanna write a
song
about this?
Probably.
In Nevada?
Yeah.
I mean, Nevada has Vegas, and that is,
Yeah.
Is that how they're measuring
Machiavellianism? According to the writer of this article, which is ChatGPT,
right.
They're definitely, saying like, hey, gambling culture
Sin City
is linked to risky behavior. Sin City Yeah. So, I mean, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is a thing for a reason, even though I don't think it's true.
Their advertising slogan. Yeah.
I think maybe the root of this us not understanding might be that we don't understand what these definitions actually are for any of those big words.
Maybe it's that AI wrote this and it's, you that know, fabricated.
Too, but like, do you know what Machiavellianism is, like, off the tip of your tongue?
Having to do with Machiavelli.
Yeah, of Machiavelli.
Yeah. I mean, it would be an idea that, like, you can destroy all others for the good of your own benefit.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That would be how I would define it. I don't know if that's how they're defining it. That's,
That kind of whatever selfishness, but more like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever I have to do to preserve myself is what matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, for a psychopath, though, like, I kind of immediately think serial killer, but I don't think that's
not the clinical
definition
of
psychopathy, right?
I believe that the most serial killers are in Washington State.
Oh.
Yeah. It's that corridor of Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of rain. A lot of woods.
I've talked about this before, but one of my best friends did a research project for the federal government about the serial killer phenomenon in Washington and Oregon.
Okay, so
that's the thing of my nightmares. Thank you for that. Yep.
So they say South Dakota because of high poverty, poor health care, limited resources.
That seems unfair.
I mean, it's
is that a pipeline to being a psychopath? Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, you know, you're.
Listen, this is
these are all.
This is British AI. I feel like they're making a lot of assumptions.
In your face, Britain. Yeah.
Like, they don't even have good tea.
Well, you don't have good teeth.
Yes.
Yikes.
Coming at you, Britain. All right. The four least, and this is where you know it's AI, Vermont, Massachusetts, New York, and Maine. So New York is on there twice.
Did they count like New York City separate from New York State?
No. I'm now looking at the map.
Oh.
And yeah. Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, Utah are going to be, you know, the ones based on the map. So,
okay.
I'm surprised that Utah's that low.
This is Mormons. I don't know.
But I would have put the Mormons
the
in the
secret
other
lives
camp.
Of Mormon wives. Yeah.
They're not psychopaths. You know, it might be.
I didn't say that they all are psychopaths.
They might be.
All right.
This was conducted by the University of Copenhagen in Denmark. Okay. So, suspect.
So the Germans.
What?
/ Denmark.
Are we just offending the entire continent of Europe now? Is that what's
the Danes over there?
Yeah, the Danes.
Yeah. All right. Anybody wants to know how World War III started? Here we go.
This podcast. Yeah. It's giving ourselves too much credit.
Yeah, they definitely say we're saying
in the future,
wealth
we know, so
inequality is a big factor too.
Wealth inequality?
Yes.
Mm, contributes to it or?
Contributes to it. So.
Well, there's plenty of that to go around.
Yeah.
Sure. So just give us all more money.
Yeah.
And less crazy people.
There you go.
You know, Alaska is surprisingly low on this list that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, you're looking at the map.
Yeah.
Not enough people.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I, you know.
I mean, is it a per capita or is it like a total population? Like, that's the.
You know, look.
I hear you. I don't understand.
Ask the Danes, okay? Find a Denmark person.
Get in a Denmark
person.
A Denmark.
You, Denmarkian. Come forth.
Right.
All right.
Wasn't that, what's his name from Shakespeare? Wasn't he Danish? One of the kings. Hamlet? I think Hamlet was Danish, wasn't he?
Sure. I can go for a Danish right now.
Mm.
I love it. She's Danish. Oh, my God. That's one of the perfect foods.
Yeah, she's Danish. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back into
hell.
I feel like I'm already there.
Yeah. I mean, look, you go outside of Texas right
that's
now.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's only the beginning.
Yeah.
That's we're only entering the first circle.
That's right. This is when people are just like floating around. Ooh.
It is getting farther and farther. We got two more circles to go through here.
Okay.
And
what's her face needs to marry Lucifer or somebody?
I don't think it
well,
happens.
Well, she's engaged to Lucifer.
I did not read Dante's Inferno for this, but I did Google.
In Patrick's defense, none of us read Dante's Inferno for this.
I did. What happens to Beatrice, and I couldn't find.
Okay.
Well, let me Google.
I'm going to assume she got eaten.
All right. While we do that, why don't you give a recap of what we've done?
Yeah. So I can definitely do that. We started out talking about lust. That's right. And then we moved into greed and sloth. Did we do? No.
So sloth is a weird one.
Yeah. Sloth
kind
is the next
nowhere.
Week. We did greed and
I found it,
something else. And then we did sloth.
Greed
and
gluttony
anger.
Go together.
Greed and gluttony. That was
yes.
it. And then sloth and anger.
Yep. Yes.
Or wrath.
Right.
Yes.
That's what we've done so far.
And so we have two more.
It's fine. I was totally prepared for that.
Envy and pride. And this is also the part where they don't line up quite as
okay
as great. All right, I did figure out what happened to Beatrice.
What happened to Beatrice?
Good news. She's not in hell.
Oh.
She's not?
No, he went to hell to find her.
He went for nothing.
But he does find her again in heaven. So.
Aww. So. Did she marry Lucifer? It's a love story everybody wants to know.
No.
Okay.
Lucifer. The one thing Dante gets right is what happens to Lucifer.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so.
So he gets cast into the lake?
Yeah.
Fiery abyss.
Yeah.
That's one thing he got wrong. So. We'll get there. All right, so we're going to...
I thought you said it was the one thing he got right.
It's the thing he got wrong. That's right.
No, well...
Gaslit.
Half right. Okay, so in the eighth circle of hell,
uh-huh.
We are in the Malebolge.
What?
That's... It means evil ditch. Okay.
Can we call people that? Is that a new name we can use? No, Malebolge.
It's a place, not a person. The Malebolge. Bulge.
The Malebolge.
Oh, yeah. Malebolge.
It's probably French.
And there, 13 demons, the Malebranche, the evil claws.
This is great.
They guard this area.
Love it.
Okay. Okay, and I'm going to go through all 13 of those demons.
Evil demons guarding an evil ditch.
There are 10 ditches. 10 bulges.
10 bulges.
All right.
Get together, team. Yes. We can do this.
But I will say, this is the one, these demons do try to trick Virgil and Dante.
Oh.
Of course, because demon's going to demon.
Yeah.
I mean.
What did you expect
this
them to
is
do?
Just what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Like, you expect honesty from a demon? Like.
Yeah. They go there and they're like, one of us only tells the truth. And one of us always lies.
Right. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
And secret they're is like, they both lie.
Right.
Yeah. And the other one's like, will you ever forgive me? Okay. Yeah, like, All right. Anyway. So in these 10 ditches, this is where these people are punished.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are they being punished for?
So this ultimately, let me, for whatever reason, my printout here did not include the eighth circle.
This is why we can't rely on paper.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Paper is betraying us.
Usually it's a very stable technology, so.
It's a very stable genius, that paper.
Yeah. I'm a paper fan.
All right. So the eighth circle of hell
mm-hmm.
is ultimately punishing fraud.
What?
This is
envy? I think maybe envy?
No.
Pride?
We have to make
Dante
them together.
Goes,
yeah, like, so I'm trying to figure out which one it goes with.
And we're going to make it work with it.
Okay, so with seven deadly
okay,
sins in the Bible.
Not
first
in the Bible.
Not in the Bible. But the idea that we've pulled like the seven deadly
the
sins
theological
from
concept,
would be
yeah.
envy and
pride are the last
pride,
two.
Pride, yeah.
Correct.
But Dante goes hard left.
He does. We align for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're going further. So this is fraud. And we're going to make this envy.
And,
you know.
Yeah, okay.
But first let's go through fraud. So first we have the first ditch is panderers and seducers.
Ugh. Panders and
I
seducers.
I do hate a panderer. That's, yeah. That's worse than...
they are forced to march single file in a circle, and they're constantly lashed by demons.
Sounds rough. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. The second
That's
one is flatterers. I mean, I got 10 of these to get through.
Right? I don't we think gotta, we need to go through all 10 of them.
What's wrong with a flatterer?
Yeah,
I know. I'm pro flatterer.
Yeah.
I think it's fraudulent flattery. So they're flattering you, but it's not genuine.
Yeah,
they're just
buttering
you
up.
Up. Yeah.
To get what they
I
want.
Personally love to be buttered up. It doesn't matter if it's real or not. You can go ahead and say it.
Yeah. There's certainly worse.
You're right. Like, this is not.
All right. You know, they're immersed in a river of human excrement.
It sounds pretty terrible.
Because all their flattery was BS, and so they have to live in BS. It's truly, I mean, that's what it is.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right, you want to go through more? Any other, you know?
Yeah, these are great.
Give us like a highlight. What's like the next top two? Top two.
We got Simoniacs. I don't even know what those are.
Oh, Simony.
Yeah.
That's where you buy religious favor.
Great.
It's where you hate people named Simon.
Sorcerers, barraters, hypocrites, thieves.
What happens to hypocrites?
Oh, okay. Hypocrites. They're forced to wear heavy robes as they walk around. Everybody's walking. This is a walking
right.
circle.
Yeah.
You're walking in a circle. This
forever.
Is the first circle. I mean,
this
they're
my
like,
hot girl walk.
I've got to walk. Yeah.
Yeah. My little mental health walk.
So you're wearing heavy robes.
You wear heavy, heavy robes.
You're like weighted down by the heaviness of your falsities. Is that the hypocrite idea?
Yeah, basically. Okay.
Well,
it
says they resemble a monk's cowl, but are lined with lead, symbolically representing hypocrisy.
Very heavy.
Ouch. Caiaphas is here.
Caiaphas.
Okay, like the high priest who had Jesus crucified.
There you go.
Wow, I figured you nerd. Would, yeah. I thought that was a nerd. Made up character. Come on.
Nerd.
Nope. All right, next
obviously
we have...
Obviously, I'm not going for flattery.
We have
not
thieves.
Getting me today.
Thieves.
Not today, Satan.
Counselors of fraud. Sowers of discord and falsifiers.
Ooh.
Okay, so
I do sometimes like to be a sower of discord. What happens to them? I should be on blast.
Oh, okay. Sowers of discord. People who promoted scandals, schism, and discord are punished here. They're forced to walk around again. Still, everybody's
still walking. Everyone's walking.
Bearing horrible, disfiguring wounds inflicted upon them by a great demon with a sword.
That sounds rough.
And the wound mirrors the sin of the soul. So
this feels like I'm going to have to stop playing my favorite game called Poke the Bear.
Sure, because some have toes and fingers cut off. Some are cut in half.
Yeah, I don't want that. Ah. Okay, no more poking the bear.
How do you walk when you're cut in half?
No, the toes are cut in half.
No. Some you're cut in half. You're schismed completely.
Schismed. Oh.
Yes.
Because I sowed so much discord, yes. And I schismed into myself.
I don't know, maybe a unique balancing act. You know, you got to work on.
I think
on.
This is a plot hole.
Yes.
Are we walking? Are we in two pieces? I don't know.
Maybe you're like cut in half horizontally, and so your feet are walking.
All right,
without your top half.
And this is Dante again. The Prophet Muhammad is here in this circle.
Let's skip that
yeah,
one.
Right. Yeah. Fix that in post.
This is Dante. Okay.
The Prophet Blue Blomid.
Yeah, that's definitely
nobody
better.
Knows.
Yeah, Sam. Because again, he's got some historical figures in all of his circles.
He does. He does. He's put the Pope in hell a couple times already.
We got several
so
popes. Several popes are in this circle. Pope Nicholas, Pope Boniface. They're in these circles, walking around, getting punished by demons. All right, fraud.
But we're gonna talk about envy.
But we're gonna talk about envy. And I think we can make these work. How could fraud and envy be related? Let's just start there.
Well, yeah. It feels like maybe you should lead us off since you have the theory that fraud and envy are related.
Right.
I mean, if you want me to like make something up right now, I would say, okay, if I'm being fraudulent, perhaps I'm being, I feel like I have to be fraudulent because I'm envious of whatever somebody else had. Like, and so that's what my envy is what leads me
like
into committing fraud.
Driving force. Yeah.
That's why I put envy here, not pride.
Okay.
Because I do think, envy driving you to want what someone else has or to own someone else.
Mm-hmm. Fraud.
Fraud is a tool to get there.
Yeah.
A way, whether it's flattery, forgery, schism, whatever.
Yeah.
Or Simonism. Yeah.
Simony.
Simony.
I only know that from Conclave.
Love that.
Because they talked about it and I was like, I need to look this up. Yeah.
All right. So... envy is mentioned in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It is one or two of the Ten Commandments, depending on how you count.
Yeah.
I believe for Protestants, it's two.
Yeah.
We got it. We break it down into
9 and 10.
9 and 10, yeah. That is coveting your neighbor's stuff and coveting your neighbor's wife.
Yes.
Yeah. Which
is different than adultery.
Which is probably, for the ancient world, under the umbrella of stuff.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, so, it's always a little like,
Yeah, I mean, it's all about how you count it. But either way, coveting definitely not
the
good.
Principle.
You should not be doing it.
Yeah.
To be clear, the commandment was against it, right? The commandment was not like, hey, go covet your neighbor's wife. Like it was like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and then for Dante, don't commit fraud to acquire your neighbor's stuff or your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's servants.
Yeah, you want to do it honest.
Daughter. Yeah.
Yep.
Come by it honest.
In the ancient world, like that's when people say I want a biblical view of marriage, that really means I want to buy my bride from another man. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the biblical view of marriage. I mean, it's an ancient culture, people.
It is. Yeah. It's not our world.
All right, I picked a story here about envy.
Okay.
And I picked Saul and David.
Aw.
Not you.
I mean, that's good because I know how the story ends. So.
Basically, Saul is king.
Yeah.
And David is
crushing it.
Well, David is new on the scene and he is anointed to be the new king, but Saul is still the old king.
And nobody knows that he's anointed.
It's awkward. Yeah.
It is awkward. Saul knows.
Does Saul know at this point?
Saul knows at some
point. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But it's kind of this weird. He's a lame duck king. It's not going to follow his lineage.
Mm-hmm.
His son is not going to become king. And David is, but Saul is still king after this happens. So it is a weird thing transition, right?
Yeah.
It's like saying, like, hey, I'm no longer going to be the senior pastor, but I'm just going to hang out for the next 3 years while a new senior pastor is mm-hmm. here.
Which sometimes people do.
Sometimes people do. And it's weird.
It is.
Right.
It's a weird thing to navigate. So initially, Saul is on board with David.
Okay.
David is a military champion. He wins battles for Saul. People love David. Saul gives David his daughter in marriage. Like mm-hmm. he is on board with David. And then people really start to love David.
Uh-oh.
And then they sing a song that say, hey, Saul has killed thousands.
That sounds impressive.
But David's killed tens of thousands.
That's Ooh. More.
Which is weird. You know, that's a song you sing about your presidents, right?
Right. Like,
weird brag, but yeah, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. MBD. Yeah.
Oh, the ancient world.
And so basically this leads Saul wanting to just kill David.
Yeah.
And this seems like an inevitability here. Like, mm-hmm. like I don't know how... You know, why the system would have ever felt like it could have worked. Saul ultimately sees David not as a successor, but a rival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. there's only one solution, and that's to kill him.
Obviously.
So he tries to kill him in the temple. David flees. He hunts David throughout Israel,
mm-hmm.
including there's one time where David is hiding in a cave. Saul goes in the cave to pee.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And David creeps up on peeing Saul
mm-hmm.
and cuts off a piece of his robe and sends it out to be like, I could have killed you. But I didn't.
Yeah. Could have killed you while you peed.
That's a long right. pee.
And I didn't do it.
You know.
And a very focused, like, you know, to not mm-hmm. notice somebody like crawling behind you, cutting off your, like.
That's true.
If I'm in the bathroom, I notice if people are behind me. Like,
right.
Sure. Maybe.
Hopefully.
All right. Mission. You heard it here, Lord Alive.
Right.
If Pastor David's going to the bathroom trying to cut off a piece of his shirt.
New goals.
That alb's going to be ragged.
Rule number one of the alb, take it off before you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's yeah. probably good.
Yeah, I mean, this is ultimately, this leads from the, like, you know, I don't like David to mm-hmm. a festering of envy and jealousy. And ultimately, yeah. Saul's downfall has already begun,
yeah.
you know, at this point. But it quickens the pace and kind of like, we reach a turning point where Saul is no longer the first king of Israel, you know, harmoniously, you know, transitioning for the next king. It is contentious, and ultimately yeah. Saul will mm-hmm. die in battle, and David takes over. So,
yeah,
there you go.
There you go. All right.
So, envy, not great.
Not great.
Fraud, also not great. Flattery, judgment still out.
Yeah. We can show of hands.
I think flattery for us, pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should not be
having to flatter.
We should not be the ones having to flatter. That seems
dangerous.
No,
I don't want to
do that.
Yeah. yeah. I want to be okay. flattered.
What about for the Christian today? Obviously, we're not, hopefully you are not worried about being cut in half for being, you know, a schismer. I don't know.
There are people out there.
Or flattery, you're going to be wearing, yeah. You know, heavy robes or whatever.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What are, how is envy a problem for us?
I mean, I think envy is ripe within particularly a Western capitalistic society of like always feeling like there's more that I need, right? That I'm never just satisfied with what I have. I always want something else. This is where the grass being greener on the other side of the fence comes from, right? It's like, oh, there must be something better over there, and that's what I mm-hmm. want.
Yeah.
And I think that's just detrimental to our well-being.
What kind of strikes me about that story with Saul and David is that envy did not have the power to change the outcome of Saul's circumstances, right? But it changed his experience of his circumstances. Mm. Where if he had not leaned into that envy, if he had taken a different, more graceful tack, then that could have been a peaceful transition. It could have been a happy transition.
Yeah.
And something good might have come of that. But because he was envious, the same thing still happened. David was still crowned king eventually, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, but like yeah. that, those last however many years were awful and very tumultuous for Saul personally and for Israel.
I think that's good biblical insight there, at least. Yeah. You know, the idea of like, this Perhaps. Was always going to happen.
Ow, you had a ring on when you did that.
Sorry.
That did not feel good.
Yeah, this was always going to happen, but Saul made his experience awful. You know, like
right.
David's experience, he's camping with his buddies for, you know, a lot of it. So.
Yeah. I mean, running for his life, camping with his buddies, but sure. Yeah,
David
seems so fun.
This is the part of the Bible where David's in pretty good spirits and a pretty good dude.
So, like,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
He also writes some psalms about being in the pit during this time and yeah. like fearing right. for his life. You know.
Sure.
But I think that applies to us too, right? Like your outcome might be set kind of regardless, but the thing that you probably have the most power over is your attitudes towards it. And that affects your experience of that outcome.
Yeah, when people these days talk about like manifesting something into the world, mm-hmm. I think like your attitude is the one place where I can like get behind that.
I'm
like,
I know I usually hate that term. I'm like,
yeah, but like I do think like how do you look at things from a certain, and some things are terrible, and it's mm-hmm. We're not trying to get into toxic positivity where you have to look at everything good. Like some things are awful, but how do you enter into those space even when it's awful? How do you enter mm-hmm. into that space? And you are the only one who's in control of your attitude. It's, right. Yeah. Even if your attitude is, I'm going to sit here and acknowledge that this is terrible, like, that might be the right attitude for the space.
Yeah.
All right, we're going down to the last circle of hell.
Circle nine.
And here are the betrayers.
Ooh.
Okay.
Nobody likes a betrayer.
Yes.
So the Aaron Burrs, and who is that guy from the Revolutionary War? He's like a famous
Benedict
guy.
Arnold.
Yeah, that guy, Benedict Arnold, yep.
Judas.
Judas.
Oh, sure. If you want to go.
Judas is definitely getting a shout out.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear. Yeah.
I'm guessing Revolutionary War, a little post Dante, probably not getting the same shout out.
He's got some shout outs.
Who's in there with Judas? Who's he put in there?
We'll get there. Okay. All right. We have the betrayers. And this is different than classic biblical imagery. This is where we get a difference. Our
classic biblical imagery for the sins that are not in the. Like,
no. For, like hell, his ninth circle. Okay. Is cold.
Yeah, got it. Different than classic imagery.
All right.
Yeah,
it is
a lake of frozen ice.
Oh.
Yeah, and the reason it's cold is because...
So it's Minnesota.
They are so far removed from the warmth and love of God.
Ooh.
And so it is a cold...
So are all the other people who are burning... That not much closer so to the love of warmth and
yeah, for sure.
Are they burning with the warmth of God? Is that
I think hot take. I think cold is better than hot because you can always put on more jackets.
I'm with you. I hear that.
And hot, there's only so much you can take off.
Legally, I found that to be true.
Right.
I don't think cold is better than hot.
I'm with you, Elise. Cold every day.
Yeah.
No, y'all live in Texas, so you made some poor life choices.
I also agree with that assessment. Of the situation.
Yeah. All right. Well, hard agree. Yeah.
So not only is it Lake of Ice, here Lucifer flaps his wings and it creates like a cool wind blowing over everybody here.
So we got a wind chill factor.
Right. And there are four circles of this final
four
betrayal.
Circles in the nine circle. Okay.
There's
no way we're keeping up with all the circles.
You gotta, yeah. He's padding for, you know, for time here at the end.
Gotta hit that word count.
Right. Yeah. Betrayal of family is one. Betrayal of community. Betrayal of guests and betrayal of lords. So those are the four. These four rings of frozen ice.
Definitely a product of its time with the betrayal of lords. That's fine. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Anyone who betrayed Lord the Singer, she wrote that song Royals.
Okay.
L-O-R-D.
Yeah. It was a deep reach that I was not ready for.
I thought you were saying the Lord of the Singer. And I was like, I know Lord of
the dance.
Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him too. Him too. Michael Flattery?
Michael Flatley.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah. All right. So
Feet of Flames, though, how does that fit in?
That's true.
In a lake of ice.
Well, you betray him. That's why you got to go to the
lake
of ice.
Lake of ice, yeah. All right. So round one, these are the family betrayers. Cain is here.
Ooh.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
Yeah. So, he killed his brother. So yeah, these they're all here though. You're allowed to bow your head.
Oh.
To protect your face from the freezing wind.
You can't bow your head anywhere else.
Not in the others.
Okay.
Yeah. We got some other shout outs here, but I don't know if we're gonna really know any of these people.
Okay.
Do you know Mordred?
Doesn't everybody know Mordred? I mean, if you don't,
son of King Arthur.
Yeah, I actually do know who Mordred is. I just listened to a podcast about King Arthur weeks ago. Yeah.
There you go. All right, round two. These are traitors to country or community.
Okay. Sure.
So this would be Benedict Arnold.
Yeah.
Is going to be here, but he does not exist. So instead we have Antenor.
He does exist. He's not born.
Not for Dante. Look, I haven't seen Benedict Arnold. I'm just saying. I'm a Benedict Arnold truther, and it's about time this podcast takes this stance.
Benedict Arnold isn't real. It's all just it's revolutionary propaganda.
Correct. All right.
Washington was the original deep state.
Antenor, Trojan soldier who betrayed a city to the Greeks.
Sure.
He's here. Yeah. All right.
Is he the guy who led in the horse? Oh, wait, that wasn't...
The horse was the Trojans going elsewhere, wasn't it?
No, the Trojans were...
Yeah, the Trojans were inside the horse, going into another... And this guy is a Trojan soldier.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I misunderstood. Sorry.
So he wasn't in the horse, presumably.
Yeah. So yeah.
Figured that one out.
Okay. So
no, he would have been in the horse.
Sorry. So the first one, you're allowed to have your head above water. You're in frozen water. Your head is out, but you can bend your head. Here, your head is out. You can't bend your
head. But the rest of you is frozen underwater.
So, yes. So it's a little bit worse, right?
Okay. So the first, everybody's frozen underwater. First one, you can move your head.
But yeah, your head is out.
Yeah.
Right. And you can bend your head.
But this one, you can't bend your head. So this one, your face is taking the wind.
Correct.
Okay, the full brunt of the wind.
Is everything below the water numb? Or are you getting itchy?
Why would you be getting itchy?
Like, it matters.
Do you get itchy when you're cold?
Okay.
I don't know.
Traitors to guests.
That's a weird question.
Is the last, is our third one here.
Okay.
All right. So we've got, I don't know how to pronounce this. You know this one, Elise?
Ptolemy.
He invited his father-in-law, Simon Maccabeus, and his sons to a banquet and killed them. This would be Game of Thronesy, right?
Would be.
You know, so if you, you know, bring people in and you kill them, you're getting punished here. Let's see. Talk while I figure out what their punishment is.
What do we think their punishment
is? Oh, this is a good word. They lie supine in the ice while their tears freeze in their eye sockets.
Supine, is that face down?
I think supine is on your back.
Supine is, yeah, because supine refers to the spine.
Sure.
It's your super spine.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes. Even the comfort of weeping is denied them. And finally.
Oh, wow. Can't even weep there.
Our fourth one, traitor to the lords, named after Judas Iscariot.
Mm-hmm. Named after him?
Judessa? Yeah.
Judeca?
Judeca, sure. So this Judas is here. I mean, this is, so he is.
Got prime spot.
Yeah. He completely encapsulated in ice, distorted and twisted in every conceivable position. So,
ouch.
Yeah. Oh. All right. And then right at the center, Satan.
Okay.
He's now
flapping wings to
this,
blow a cold
this
wind.
This is where what Dante gets right.
Oh.
Satan is being punished. Because he's the ultimate betrayer, right?
Yeah.
So he is trapped here. He's chained up. His wings are able to beat. That's why you get this cold wind. But he's not going anywhere. He's not in charge. He's also being punished. He is in the ice and suffering.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So there.
Satan also punished. Got it.
Yeah.
And this is where Virgil and Dante end. They get all the way down to the end. They crawl. This is what it says. They crawl up his back.
Up Satan's back?
Up his legs to his back to find a crack to escape.
We're just going to leave that one there. No, we're going to leave that one alone. We're not going anywhere. It's a family show. We're just going to leave that one alone.
Yeah, so they climb back up to Earth. So through the crack.
Okay.
Good for them. There you go.
I have some follow-up questions.
No, you do not.
So for our, then we went with pride.
Pride.
Yeah.
Pride of betrayal, because if I'm, you know, so prideful, then I will betray others to maintain my own pride.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just had to make it fit. That's fine.
Right.
I would say pride, maybe the deadliest of sins.
Doesn't C.S. Lewis have this thing where he says that pride is the root of all other sins?
Yes, he does. And he also would say it is the deadliest, because as you in your life work against the others, this one gets stronger.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to be like, look how good I am at denying myself from food or greed or lust or flattery or whatever. Mm-hmm. This one gets, and it is the most deceiving, because the deeper you go into it, the less you can see it.
Yeah.
Like, the most prideful people are the people who have the least awareness of their own pride.
Sure.
Right.
And so this is, you know, this is bad stuff. So, you know, I felt pride at the center of hell. One, this is Lucifer's great sin in the Bible of the rebellion is based on pride of I can do this as well as God. And the temptation of the serpent is pride. It's right away. Whether the serpent is Lucifer or just a serpent is a debate.
Different episode.
Debate for a different episode. You know, classic Christianity would probably say yes. More progressive modern Christianity might say maybe not.
Yeah.
Either way, that's the start of it.
But either way, you will have the knowledge of good and evil if you eat this. Trust me. You know, it is pride is the first motivator. All right, so I chose as our biblical story Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes. So in Daniel 4, he brags to Daniel and to his court about how great he is. Mm-hmm. He takes credit for building Babylon, even though it was there before he lived. And, you know, purposely ignores the role of God or gods in his ascension. Mm-hmm. This is where a hand appears and writes on the wall. The phrase, the writing on the wall, comes from this thing. And Daniel has to translate and says, hey, your pride has gone before you. You will be living like an animal, and you're going to walk around on all fours and eat grass. And that's what happens to Nebuchadnezzar. He walks around and eats grass, and he kind of lives like an animal for a period of time and then repents. So there. So that's what I kind of chose. So pride here is in the Bible, and it's pride is definitely prevalent, you know, as it exists. You even the temptations of Jesus from Satan while he is fasting in the desert, all I think center on this idea of pride. I mean, the question is like, prove yourself has a prideful aspect and attitude connected to that. All right. So what other ways can pride be bad for Christians?
Well, you're both on your phones, so I'm going to assume that this is me.
Sorry, I'm having a roofing emergency. You're good. Yeah, it's fine.
Not a roofing emergency.
Yeah, it's fine. Keep going. You're doing great.
Roofing or roofie?
You're right.
Roofing.
Yeah. Ing.
Because I'm just going to call the cops real quick. All right. How do pride enter into this?
Into what?
Into the Christian life. Like, why is this bad? We've been talking about it, but let's just be more specific. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I see so much in really any religious context, right? Not just Christianity. Yeah. That, like, the moment that we think that we have landed on the exact right way to do something and everybody else is wrong, we have lost, right? Like, that is, you have lost the plot and kind of belly flop straight into something that is deeply prideful. And I think that shows up in a lot of ways in Christianity that's maybe not so blatant. Like, even if you're not at that point where you think, like, all right, this is the one right way to be a Christian. This is the one right way to have a worldview. This is the one right way to experience spirituality. Even if you're not at that point, there's a lot of other ways that we're very prideful about just our experience of faith, right? Like, saying, like, well, their stuff is much worse than my stuff. Like, that particular sin is not something I do, so I'm good. Yeah. Like, you know, or, you know, just looking down on, like, it's, I'm not using the language I want to here, but, like, looking down on our peers for struggles that we just don't happen to have.
Yeah.
Based off of luck or happenstance, even, you know, sometimes it's nothing that we've done, you know, to not have that particular struggle.
Sure.
But I think we do that kind of all the time.
Yeah.
And that's how we are so, like, subtly prideful in our everyday lives. And then there's the big ones, right? The big, like, well, this is the only way to live, or this is, you know, we've landed on the doctrine that is, you know.
Yeah. And I think in all of those cases, right, the real sin that we're falling on is we're saying, I can do this without God. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, and the story of scripture is one of saying God created us to be in relationship with God, and our pride is the thing that says, nah, I'm good. Right. And and so whether we're rejecting our relationship with one another, or we're rejecting God directly, or rejecting God through our rejection of one another, right? It's all pointing us back to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the one that probably in every other sin that we do or kind of thing probably wraps itself around it in some level.
Yeah.
And like it kind of like wiggles its way in. And then, like I think we mentioned before, even as we get rid of those others or strive against them, this gets stronger.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the most deceptive of all. It is like waking up and being like, I want to be less gluttonous today. I think you can kind of wrap your head around what that looks like. Waking up, I want to be less prideful today. Like that's something that's like, I don't even know how to really start being less prideful.
Right.
You know,
and then,
like,
and then if you do it, you're like, I was so good.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And so I do think this is the most insidious of them all, because it is hardest to see, hardest to cure. And as you get better, you know, if you're looking at as Christians, I want to live a better life, I want to bring more about the kingdom of God, it can get bigger as you get better. And that makes it much more challenging to kind of like figure out how to deal with it.
Right.
And so I think that this is the, for me, the biggie, you know, that is in scripture and in Dante. So.
Yeah. I think that's really helpful. I also think, you know, since we're at the end of our little journey,
yeah.
through these seven deadly sins and the nine circles of hell, and we've climbed through the crack and we're out of sure. out of hell. I think it's worth remembering that, you know, Dante is one telling a story.
Agreed.
But also like all of these sins are redeemable. Right. Through the grace and love of God, like even our pride, which is insidious and which we don't know how to fix, has been redeemed through the grace and love of God and the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so, I think we would do ourselves a disservice if we didn't end on that reminder that however prideful you might be. Yeah, it is probably something you want to be less prideful about. But if you're struggling to figure it out, God has still forgiven you already.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, like, as we kind of enter into whatever the next life looks like and these parts of us are kind of like torn free or we're letting go or whatever that imagery you want to kind of imagine. I think that this is, for all of us, the hardest to identify, you know. So, but Jesus is going to rip it from us one way or the other.
Yeah.
And when we are free from it as kind of as a human, as humanity, I think we'll, you know, have a sense of breath different than anything that has come before. So
it's almost like the fundamental human flaw, right? Like the one thing that we can't get away from, no matter how much we maybe do well in other areas, is you're always going to have pride somehow. It's wrapped up in kind of the fundamentals of who we are.
Now, I think it's important as this comes out, we're exiting June. We're not talking about that. About Pride Month.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody thought we were talking about Pride Month.
Look, some Christians do.
Oh, like, that's true.
Yeah.
Some Christians have, you know, and we maybe could have heard this earlier, have kind of like, as Pride Month starts, you'll see them start talking more about pride, about more about like pride is this sin and these things. It is not that.
That is not what we're talking
about.
That is
not the sin of pride. The sin of pride is not, I'm proud of my son for completing a task, or I'm proud to be an American, or I'm proud of my church or my country.
It's also not, I'm proud to be gay, right? Like that's not the sin of pride.
None of that is this.
Yeah.
You know, pride is, I am better than you because of blank.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that is the pride. Or anybody, I am better than me as I was can be a sin of pride too.
Yeah.
And that's why it makes it so insidious. So,
right.
So a pride festival is not this, but some Christians out there say it is. And so I wanted to be very, very clear.
Some people are the worst.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I knew that. I'm way better than most people. Right. So.
Yeah.
Sure. And Jesus has forgiven me for it. Right. So.
So we're all good.
All good.
If you would like to flatter me, now would be the appropriate time.
I'm now ready to receive your flattery.
Right.
And if need be, I'm willing to do it myself. Right.
It was just my birthday.
Oh.
Nobody has told me happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
I did not remember that it was your birthday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I thought it was in May.
No, it's in June.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought we celebrated.
It was on Father's Day.
It was on Father's Day this year, which was a bummer.
For everybody.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Had to share it.
Nobody was happy about this.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this little mini series on the seven deadly sins, let us know what you'd like to us to talk about in a mini series next. You can send that to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com, and you can find all of our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday. But we're done with Dante.
Yep.
No more Dante.
Yeah, so.
So long, Dante.
Well,
he's riding off into the sunset.
Crawling up the crack into the sunset.
There it is.